Hello and welcome back to the Retro Asylum podcast, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. I'm here with the equipment fiddler, Mark Billund.
That's me.
And the beer swilling Mads Christensen.
Hello.
So are you ready, Mark, or are you still fiddling?
I'm trying not to fiddle with my equipment, but it's hard not to, and I get to see your beautiful faces.
Jesus Christ. This is how we start, people. Where do we go from there? Mm. Yeah. Mads, follow that.
I don't want to. I don't really want to, actually. Can I just ignore it and pretend it never happened?
Yeah, we'll just keep
certainly
going.
Certainly, sir. Yeah. Mm. Certainly. Yeah.
Pretty much like the last episode you guys recorded, by the way. So they'll have to be worried about
episode.
That.
That was,
yeah, that was certainly something. Certainly something.
It was from you, Mads.
I mean, the amount of misrepresentation there, it was staggering.
No.
I've got
to, no.
Come on, guys.
But we said loads of nice things about you.
Yes. But you also said so many wrong things. Like, for example, that I didn't play the tutorial. Yes, I did. That was the very first part of the game I played. I liked the mechanics. Then you
didn't
said
you say
I struggled with the first boss and couldn't pass it. But I was actually, I stopped on level 3. The only reason I didn't get back to it was that I didn't have time. And, you know, if I felt that I loved it from the get-go, I would have made the time. But I didn't, because I knew you guys would just cover it perfectly. And can I say, it was a brilliant episode. I loved it, guys. Well done.
Yeah. Well, we didn't please everyone, and a couple of people made some good points. And I think, to be fair, we did say about you, I think we said that you did get past level 1, but what I said, and I was clearly wrong, was that you'd had such a tough time beating that first boss that you didn't go back to it. But that wasn't true, was it?
No, but of course, it all stems from the fact that I'd never played the game before. And we know that I hate any game I haven't played before. So I don't like games. New games, old games, only games I've played before.
I think this is the closest Mads has been to quitting Retro Asylum. He's like, I'm out. We got to coach.
I mean, that is kind of a bad look for a podcaster on video games if you don't, you know, like games you haven't played before.
it's the facts, the evidence.
It's the facts, yes. That's
years
it.
Years of evidence.
So guys, listeners, this is my very last episode here. I'm hanging up the mic. There's no coming back after this, so.
Don't worry. We'll just throw our arms around him and then he'll be fine. But yeah, I think a couple of people said that we didn't go deep enough on the background and the story and the world, and I think that's probably fair. But the reality is, neither Mark or I have the chops to do that because we just don't know.
I actually read that comment before I listened to the episode, and I disagree. I think you actually did the story service. You just didn't like the story and didn't really feel for it because you hadn't played the three games that comes before this. So I think you actually described the story in kind of a good detail level for me, and I haven't played the first three games as well. So that was okay.
Thanks, mate. I think we called it a load of old tosh, which...
Yes, and maybe that's not true if you're invested in the story, of course.
No. Mm. As I said, there's a great story to be told in that world, and I'd love to have a go at Panzer Dragoon Saga at some point, because that's very highly regarded on the Saturn.
Yeah.
But it won't be this year, will it? But more to be revealed on RPG Summer soon.
Yes.
Well, what are we doing today? So today we are looking at the Game Club long list for July.
So as Mark put it so beautifully, Mark, what are we doing today? Come on.
We, because you guys have done this to me before, we are shattering the hopes and dreams of almost all of the listeners that decided to throw in some games. Because I'm 0-2 for making the short list from years past. And that's okay. I had to get on the episode to just see what it feels like. Now that I'm on this side, I don't know if I like being on this side because this list is insane.
It's a good one.
So this is listener's choice, guys. We do this, I think, every July, or at least this is the third year running that we've done it, or a variation on the theme. We're going back to basics this year. We've opened it to Discord, and we've invited people to come forward and nominate one game each. And people, I've tried to break the rules in recent years, but this year I'm pleased to report that nobody has tried to sneak in more than one game. So we've got a pretty long list of games here, gents, that we're going to rattle through.
But people are still sneaking in games, aren't they?
Are they?
Talking about Uris, what are you doing?
Was he? He hasn't put forward another one, has he? If I missed it?
No. He only put in one game, but...
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, the old...
You can always trust Riss to be making mischief. Yeah.
Pushing the boundaries. Mm. So we did say, didn't we, that for our purposes in the Game Club, we consider retro to be everything PS2, Xbox, GameCube, GBA, backwards. So as long as you're, you know, circa kind of 2002-2003-ish down, you're good. And Reese has managed to even push that boundary.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now I remember which game you're talking about.
Yeah. We'll come on to that. So should we dive straight in, gentlemen?
Let's do it.
I think we just... It's a long list of games, so yeah.
Okay.
So how about we just take turns in reading the list so we get them all introduced?
I like that, mate. Yeah, go on, then you go first.
Okay. So we've got Enricus, who says, how about Parodius for the SNES or SNES? So yes. Parodius, of course, parody of Gradius, and a pretty good shoot 'em up, as far as I recall.
Yeah, so I did a Kane and Rince episode on this earlier this year. Parodius series, yeah.
Mm, so yeah. so how good is the version for the SNES then?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's probably my favourite in the... I'm just trying to think back. It is probably my favourite in the series, actually.
Okay.
So I can't remember the subtitle of the SNES Parodius. It's the first arcade game. It's the port to the first arcade game. If it is the one I think he's talking about. There is another Parodius game for the SNES, but I think from the fact he's just said Parodius, I'm just going to go with the fact it's a port of the first arcade game. It's really good. Really good.
I got to ask, just because it just popped into my head, is there something called Sexy Parodius, Chris?
Yeah, there is Sexy Parodius, mate, yeah.
What's that?
That was on the Saturn.
Okay.
It's not very sexy.
Damn.
It's on the PlayStation 1 as well in Japan. It's a pretty good game, though, I think.
Is it?
It's really good. Yeah. Mm. It's just if you're looking for titillation, I wouldn't...
You're looking in the wrong place.
Sexy Parodius. They're all fun, though. Each of them, as the series goes on, they get increasingly risque, I would say. But you might find a booby or two in the SNES game, mate.
We might find a booby or two later on today, but let's see.
I'm sure we will, yeah. Go on, Mark, you take the next one.
Okay, so we've got, I'm guessing it's Baza MC1. Is that what I take? He says,
I reckon so.
Burnout 3 Takedown, one of the best arcade racers, still holds up today, is what he says. And I actually love this game. I had to, back in 2006, I got shipped over to Ohio for 3 months. And this is one of the games I had, and I played a lot while I was away from my wife and my barely newborn child. So Burnout 3 is actually a game that I've played, and I do really enjoy. So I actually like this one. So,
yeah.
That would be on the Xbox, right?
That's correct. It's the original PS, Xbox.
Or
PS2. Yeah. Got a PS2 release as well, didn't it?
Okay.
I'm sure.
Yeah, nice.
Great game. Until a couple of weeks ago, I would have said my favourite arcade race. It's just been supplanted by Ridge Racer Type 4. The first time I played that in a long time, and I think that's now my favourite. But it's such a great game, Burnout 3. Such a great game. That'll be a strong choice.
Yeah, it's a great... And I love racing games, as we've talked about in the past. So I'm with you on that one, Mr. I guess I'm going to call you Baza. I like it.
Good choice, Baza. So coming up next, sticking with the arcade races, Dr. No Vocal Cords. Outrun 2, please. I'm not sure which version is best, but it gets so much love, and yet I've only played it a few times in the arcade. Nice. So not a game I've played, actually. Maybe once or twice, very briefly. Original Xbox, Outrun 2, if you're going to play a port. And it was a big coup, wasn't it, for Xbox when they got this on the console in 2004 or whatever it was. So a very nice choice. You guys played this one?
No, I don't think so.
Yes, definitely. I was an Xbox boy, and this was one of the early ones I remember picking up almost I wouldn't say I was there day one, but I was there definitely first 6 months as a racing guy and an Outrun guy. I remember, I think Outrun 2 is on the PlayStation 2 as well, and it's different, if I recall. Maybe I'm thinking of the Coast to Coast one, but Outrun 2 is great. And the drifting in it was perfect. So
was it really?
Yeah. It was so good. The way it drifts, it's much different than the arcade where you don't really drift. You're just kind of, brake checking and checking your speed. This one, you kind of like let off the gas and hit the gas again. And you're kind of, rotating your analog stick and it just drifts and you'll drift around corners like you want. So just, it feels really good.
Yeah, nice. What I really enjoy about the Ridge Racer series. So this it's a strong candidate for me, this one.
Yep, and whether you do the arcade or Xbox, I think they're both pretty strong. I don't know if I'd have to assume Outrun 2's on MAME. I don't know if I've ever checked.
Yeah, the only problem with emulating racing games on MAME is that unless you've got a steering wheel set up, you feel like you're kind of playing a compromised version. Is my only drawback.
Yeah, I see. I get that. Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So, Stephen James suggests... What does he do? He says, I'm going to wave the flag for the N64 and put forward Sin and Punishment.
Sin and Punishment.
Sin and Punishment. So, I've actually never played that. Any of you guys? Ooh.
Yes, I own this game. This is one of the few 64s I kept.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been in the N64 hate camp, so, but this is, it's
a treasure, isn't it?
I don't want to call it a run and gun. It's, I hate to say it's similar to Panzer Dragoon where.
Yeah, it's on rails.
It's an on-rail shooter, but you're on the ground running.
Yeah.
And you're, shooting the enemies just like you are in Panzer Dragoon. So, I would call it like that.
It's an absolute it's a beauty. It's a really pretty game. It's treasures, right? So they, Radiant Silvergun, we just talked about Radiant Silvergun, weren't we? It's from their oeuvre. It's really good looking game, I think. It doesn't look like an N64 game. My only drawback with this, and I'm going to keep my powder dry, my only drawback is that it is an on-rail. It's been a long time since I played it. But it is an on-rail shooter, and we have just had one of those.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it would be a bit too similar to Panzer Dragoon, but we'll see.
Stephen James is already feeling the hurt. I know, dude. I've been there.
he knows where this is going.
He's like, oh, no, not already. No, it's a great game, and I think it should at some point make it into our short list because. It is a neat thing to see on the N64 because there's just nothing like it, out there.
On the platform. I had a look at a video and it looks really interesting. So it does. I'd be all over this, I think.
Yeah, no, it does. It is a really pretty game. Okay, coming in next then is Feathers McGraw, and he says, "Lore of the Temptress, Amiga version. I never finished it, and I need an excuse to do it." Ooh, interesting one. This,
yes.
Why am I drawn to this one, Mads? It's Revolution Software. What is it?
It's the first point-and-click adventure game that they made, and it's the one that, of course you're drawn to it, of course, but it is also the one that introduced they have this actor model, they call it something special, the virtual theater. And as that, I am very interested in playing this. I've started it a handful of times and never finished it, so there's something that makes me bounce off it, I think. But I like to finish this at some point as well. But Chris, it's too late. You've already played the games that come after this, so you don't need to play the first one.
Well, yeah, but they're not in the same series, are they?
No, they're not.
They just use the same engine. This, I reckon, I was trying to... Yeah, like you, back in the day, I must have started this a bunch of times and never really got anywhere with it. And I think it was just because it's not as aesthetically pleasing as the LucasArts stuff, is it?
So I actually kind of like the style. You're right.
It's a bit more drab.
Yeah, probably. But I kind of like the style. I like the interface as well. I think I got stuck almost immediately after getting out of jail. You start in jail in this game.
I remember that. You get out of the jail.
And I wouldn't really know where to go. And I think the whole virtual theater thing is actually misused a bit here. They were finding their footing. So sometimes you can struggle with progressing the story because you don't know where to find the person that you're supposed to talk to. And
Sounds like Blade Runner.
Yeah, and they're not in the same place because they're walking around. That's the whole idea of the virtual theater thing. And they got a lot better at controlling that in later games like Beneath the Steel Sky, for example. So
yeah. I didn't realize Richard Joseph did the soundtrack.
Oh, did he? I didn't know.
Which is cool.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
But yeah, that'd be good. Always nice to... It feels like we haven't had an Amiga game for ages.
Yeah, and a point-and-click game is always good. Always appreciated.
I think it was right, Soccer. Isn't it, Mark? Soccer Kid was the last one, yeah?
Yeah, must have been.
Yeah, that was last year. So would you an Amiga game? Mm.
Definitely.
And you love point-and-click games, Mark.
They're my new favorite. Uh-huh, yeah.
They are.
So that's what this is point-and-click. Okay.
Yes.
I was trying to pin that together when you talk about LucasArts and things of that nature. But I mean, I'm all for an Amiga game. I need to educate myself a little bit more with
Amiga. Made by the team who did Broken Sword.
Yes.
Okay.
You're up next.
Okay, I will Maupin. Aaron Maupin. Okay. He is going with Wizard on the C64, also released by EA as Ultimate Wizard. I have not heard of this one. Oh, yeah.
So I hadn't actually either, and I know a lot of C64 games, but there's so many there. I had a look online, and this looks like somebody who had a look at Jumpman or Jumpman Jr. And said, wow, what if we add like shooting and extra enemies and all sorts of fun to that? It looks wonderful. It's just my kind of game, so I really want to play this, actually.
Sounds good.
This does look good. Mm. This does. I'm quite fancy this as well. I'm not as big a fan as Jumpman, just because I haven't spent as much time with it, Mads. But what I've played, I really like what I have played.
Mm.
And this looks, and Electronic Arts back in the day, it's published by Electronic Arts, and they've got a really bad reputation now for ruining studios and horrible monetization methods. But back in the 80s, man, they were the gold standard, weren't they? If it was published by Electronic Arts, it was a guarantee of some really high-quality stuff. So I'm really intrigued by this.
So as soon as they started doing sports games, nobody was interested in them anymore. Well, at least I wasn't.
Yeah,
I think it was when they destroyed Westwood. I went off them.
Oh yeah, mm. yeah.
But just one caveat there. So they published a revised version of this game called Ultimate Wizard, which looks like it was a bit of a kind of remix, slash add-on pack.
Mm.
We are looking at the original. Yeah. Maupin hasn't mentioned that, so I'm assuming it's the original 1984 Wizard.
Well, he said released by EA as Ultimate Wizard. So I'm wondering if I'm wondering if it came out as Wizard and then maybe they not re-released it, but released it again. Yeah. Maybe it's a second release. I don't know.
Yeah, looks like it got a bit of a remix and then got additional levels.
Okay.
I see.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. It's for listeners that don't know, this is a single screen platformer in the vein of Jumpman or Jumpman Jr. if you've played that before. So you have ladders and platforms and ropes to climb and stuff that needs to be collected while you avoid enemies and projectiles and so on and so forth. But it looks to be a bit more depth to the gameplay than there was in Jumpman Jr., where Jumpman Jr. is brilliant in that it switches its gameplay mechanic for every single level, and that's what you need to figure out. It's kind of a puzzle, isn't it, Chris?
Yes, everything's a puzzle, mate.
This looks like something that has... I don't know, I'm only looking at the video, but it looks like something that is more focused on giving you complete control of a set of moves. And for example, you can... Some of the projectiles I see, you can shoot away, so you can dodge them like that. And yeah, it looks good.
Cool.
Wow, that should be...
Business is a bit fun. Business is about to pick up here, gents.
Yes.
So...
These are hard. How are we going to eliminate any of these?
Well, I've got a nice easy one for you coming up, mate. Don't you worry.
Okay.
So,
but it's certainly not this one that I'm going to read now, because Raushi suggests...
Oh, it's your turn.
It's my turn, so just keep your mouth shut. So, Rausch suggests Knights of Centaur, also known as Dragon Knight 3, the DOS version. It's the originally released in 1992, but it wasn't released in the US until 95. It's estimated 20 hours to complete it, so it's not a long RPG. And would, as Rausch says, would be a nice bump up from the last few months, because we know that he does really put in the hours. So, Knights of Centaur is an RPG. It's, there are two versions of this. I just read up on it because I knew Chris was going to be all over this. But there are two versions of it. There's the adult version, and then there's the normal version. And in the adult version, I would say that the cutscenes probably get a bit more explicit. But there is also a normal version you can play, and I don't know how the cutscenes look there. But it's your standard RPG fare, but then with some... I'm no expert of this in any way, shape, or form. Is it hentai, or is it... What's it called? The little cartoon, not cutscenes, but still images pretty much being shown every once in a while.
I think it's hentai, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's kind of the... titillating of Japanese artwork, I guess. I don't want to call it pornography, but that's just it's always called.
I think it's nothing too bad. I don't think I've seen the adult version, probably. I actually played this game when I was a teenager, the first one, the normal version at some point. Yeah.
And what kind, when you say it's an RPG, so what is it? Is it a dungeon crawler? Is it a traditional...
It's a very traditional top-down RPG where you have lots of random battles and level up and move through this story. And sometimes you encounter maidens that need a bit more saving than usual, and that's it. That's it.
It sounds terrible.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Oh, man.
Well, it just sounds terrible. I mean... This kind of porno or kind of semi-porno game where you go along and maidens are in various states of damselous.
That's a good word.
Just not really feeling it whatsoever.
I forget whether this is actually... It's been many, many years. Whether it was actually meant to be funny more than anything else. I think it was actually, but I'm not sure. So I feel like I'm going to need to play this again at some point, just so I can give you an informed, a proper discussion of what this game actually is.
So it's classed by Wikipedia as an erotic role-playing video game.
Yeah,
I love Japanese culture, but the one part of Japanese culture that I really struggle with is their way in which they sexualize things. It just doesn't look my cup of tea, and Roshi is probably sitting there saying he's ignorant, doesn't know what he's talking about, he's never played it. That is true. The game features cartoonish cutscenes, many of which contain nude erotic images. The girls, the main character and characters and helps, will often feel grateful and award him with sexual favours.
Makes sense. No,
just doesn't sound my cup of tea, to be honest.
Fair enough, mate.
But
fair enough.
Let's see.
Roshi's crying right now. Yep.
Yeah.
I know. Roushi's probably hating on me, and he is quite right. I've never played it, and therefore I should probably hold back my view, but it just doesn't sound like my cup of tea. Moving on. Next up, Chris 1983, Heretic on DOS. He actually suggests two games. He also goes on to say All Wild Guns on the SNES. And he acknowledges the fact that he's cheating with two games. So I'm gonna go with the first one because that's the one that I prefer. Always lovely to have a DOS game in the frame. I actually played the sequel to this quite a lot back in the day when I first got my PC. So I first got my PC in around 95, 96. I moved away from the Amiga. And I remember Hexen was one of the first games that I played. I've never actually played Heretic. But it is id Software and it's... John Romero produced it. I think it looks great. I love these 90s first person shooter / magic 'em ups. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, this one would be fun for me as well. I love first-person shooters, and I think the kids call them boomer shooters now, I think is what they say.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's fine. Call it that. I'll take it. Let's play them. Yeah, I'm in for that. Wild Guns. Let me just tell you my point on Wild Guns. That game is hard. So stinking hard. So, yeah, I'm glad you went with Heretic, because I actually tried to put time in Wild Guns, and even I finally used like a cheating or whatever, Infinite Lives, I forget, some sort of, maybe it was a Game Genie, I forget, but because I actually owned the cart for a while, and it's such a neat game, but man, it's hard. So yeah, Heretic, boomer shooter, id Software, what's not to love?
I reckon you've played quite a bit of this, Mads.
No, I haven't. I've just dabbled with it, never actually finished it. There was something about both Heretic and Hexen that just put me off them, so I never finished them back in the day.
Interesting.
And that's actually just for me a reason to want to go back and see what was there, because I'm sure there are some good games there.
Well, we like a Doom clone.
Yes, we do.
Always,
like a Doom clone. We haven't had a Doom clone for a while.
Mm.
Cool.
So satanic imagery is fine, but no pixelated boobs. I'm just putting that out there. That's moving on.
All right, we got Der Richter, I think is how we pronounce him. He says, Hired Guns would be my suggestion. I don't think I've heard that featured on any podcast so far, and it's fairly unique in the way that it's a four-viewport simultaneous tactical dungeon crawler. Good grief. That sounds involved.
So I feel absolutely sure that we played this like 4, 5, 6 years ago on the podcast and talked about it, but I can't remember the details.
Really?
But yeah, Hired Guns is definitely something special on the Amiga. Yeah.
Yeah, I had it back in the day. One of those games that I was always pretty interested in, but always kind of bounced off those, you know, those first-person dungeon crawlers. And after playing, what's its face last year? What was that called? Game called? Dungeon Keeper. Dungeon Master.
Yes.
Dungeon Master last year.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm a bit scarred, I think.
You loved that.
Yeah. Nope. I didn't really love that. Dungeon. I wanted to love it, but I struggle with it, and this looks a little bit similar, although I think I prefer the sci-fi setting rather than the fantasy Dungeons and Dragons setting.
Yeah,
so maybe there's something, and I do like the fact that there are actually four characters rather than in Dungeon Master, you kind of all four of you are just, it's your blob, aren't you? It's what they call the kind of the blob thing. Whereas in this game there are four, so kind of you get a bit more kind of strategic combat, which sounds fun.
It's definitely not unique. Sure. I mean, and it's interesting that if you haven't covered it, that there's not a lot out there on it, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, not sure. Mads?
So CPR2 says, Moonstone, A Hard Day's Night. That's Night with a K for the Amiga. Also, he says, although having just seen Hired Guns popping up, I think he's actually rooting for Der Richter instead. But yeah, Moonstone, I'm sure you've played that on your Amiga before, right, Chris?
Yes, lots. I ever finished it back in the day, though.
Does it finish with a battle against a dragon? I seem to recall, but maybe I'm wrong.
Much fun just chopping people's heads off.
Exactly, that's what I did, and nothing more, actually. So I'm sure I've been playing this game all wrong back in the day when I was a kid, and I haven't played it since, so yeah, it could be good fun to pick this up again. I was just, I loved chopping knights' heads off, playing Barbarian, that's all you went for.
Explain to me what this game is, I haven't looked this one up.
So this is it an RPG? I don't know, it's very
collection of mini games. So
it's a decapitation simulator. Yes, in my eyes. It is that. That's all I ever did. But I think Mads is probably right. It may be, and I could be completely ignorant about this, but in my mind, it's not dissimilar to Defenders of the Crown, in that you go from scene to scene, and in different scenes, you have different things to do.
I think this is, looking at Wikipedia, by the way, I just found it here. It says it's an action role-playing video game.
Don't remember it as
well. Yeah, me neither. So that just tells me that I have been playing this wrong my entire life. So it would be good fun to have a look at. I think I wasn't old enough when I played this back in the day.
No.
This was released back in 1991 on the Amiga.
It's a bit of a cult classic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I would say.
Mm.
Yeah, because it
blends like different genres. So you have like a basic turn-based game, but also real-time combat for the encounters. So that's what we're talking about, chopping off people's heads, Mark.
Gotcha.
The combat there, yeah. Mm. It's notable as one of the goriest games of its time, with some particularly bloody fights and death scenes, it says. What's not to love? blood and gore is all good for Chris. No titties.
So far, we've got satanic imagery, tick. We've got decapitation simulator, tick. Pixelated boobies, cross.
That's it. You sound very American to me in some way. That's
my moral compass is a bit off, isn't it?
Yes.
Sounds skewed. Yeah.
Yeehaw, boy.
Yep. Moving on.
So, Retro Denial says, Wonder Boy in Monster World. Mm. And he does go on to give a little bit of a... He says, note that this can be a bit of a hassle to get going in Mista because of the way it saves, I believe. So I could be persuaded to switch to Wonder Boy. Don't you worry, Retro Denial. No need to switch. Wonder Boy in Monster World it is. We'll always find a way. Yeah. Now, guys, you're going to have to help me out here because I don't know a lot about Wonder Boy at all. So was this the first Master System Wonder Boy game?
No.
This was the sequel to the original arcade game, I believe.
So the first one is just Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy, yeah.
And that's released in the 80s. This was released for the Genesis must have been the Mega Drive must have been the primary platform for this.
This came out in 1987.
No. Wonder Boy in Monster World. We're talking about Wonder Boy in Monster World, right? It's released.
No, Wonder Boy in Monster Land.
No. Wonder Boy in Monster World.
Yeah.
It's a different game.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, Wonder Boy in Monster World, so he is. I beg your pardon.
So it's released in 91 in Japan on the Mega Drive, and we get it here in 92, I see. And there is a Master System version that comes out in 93.
And okay, cool.
Even a Turbo Duo release, so later on in 94, yeah. But it must be the Mega Drive version that he's talking about.
So is this one of the really highly considered and thought of Wonder Boy games?
Yeah, it's one of those that goes from just being a side-scrolling platformer to like an action role-playing game instead.
Okay.
Yeah, and yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. I've always been intrigued by the Wonder Boy games, but I've never actually sat down and played one for very long.
So the only one I've ever played really was the arcade one. I mean, Wonder Boy in Monster Land. I bet I got it on the Amiga at some point. Yeah, I did. But I did spend a lot of time in the arcade playing it because I remember my local chippy had this machine for a long time. Yeah, so I love that game. But I've never tried Wonder Boy in Monster World, I think.
Yeah. I was wondering if Kane and Rince had done an episode on that. It sounds like that would be right up their alley.
Not as far as I can remember. Maybe, though. I mean, in the almost 600 episodes, maybe they have. But I can't recall.
Can't recall, yeah. Yeah, I remember an old Retronauts on it, and they were basically trying to explain it, and it's very confusing. It's one of those ones. It was released as Adventure Island here, the monster, Wonder Boy, and but anyway, okay. We only got a certain few, and it's very confusing, as I recall.
Yeah, super confusing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good choice.
Okay.
Cool. Mm. Yeah. I would assume the Mega Drive on that one, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
I would say.
Must be the Mega Drive version, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Matt?
No, it's Mark's turn.
Oh, yeah, that's Mark. Right. Toho Scope says Fallout Tactics Windows. I didn't know there was a tactic
to be applauded.
Chris, what is that? A strategy game for in the Fallout universe? Or?
So you remember that we did the crossover with the retrospective
exactly.
Fallout 1 and 2. So we were going to do, this time last year, we were talking about doing a Fallout Tactics episode in the autumn. And I started playing Fallout Tactics because I love the Fallout world. I really do. I really love it. And whilst I don't love the gameplay elements of Fallout 1 and 2, I really like the world. So I played about 5 hours of Fallout Tactics, and I did not get on with it at all.
Okay.
But I think that's probably because I was trying to shoehorn it in. I think at the time we were playing the RPG in the summer. What did we play? Planescape Torment, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we were playing. I was playing Planescape Torment, and I think I was playing some other lot. I think, I forget what we were playing for playthrough now, but I was trying to squeeze it in at the same time as playing two other long games, and I just don't think I was giving it enough of me to really get a lot out of it. This is a complex game, and it is. I think How Long to Beat has it down at about 25, 30 hours, but this is a really big game, and the levels are 3-4 hours long.
So what are we talking? Turn-based strategy or real-time strategy?
No, it's turn-based. No, it is turn-based. Think Jagged Alliance.
Okay.
You ever played the Jagged Alliance games?
No, but I watched them play it, so I know pretty much what to expect.
So I would say it's like a turn-based tactical strategy game. Have you played a Fallout game or a Baldur's Gate or something like
Baldur's
that?
Baldur's Gate, but no Fallout games.
Okay, So imagine something like Baldur's Gate or Fallout where you take away everything else except the combat and you double down on the combat and make it more mechanically complex than it is in those games. So there's no overworld. There's no... Yeah, there's a plot, but the plot's told by way of kind of exposition in between missions. The game is solely about the combat. And the thing that I like least about Fallout 1 and 2 is the combat.
Okay.
So I was struggling with the concept of this game right from the off.
Yeah,
I would say Jagged Alliance is the touch point if you've played it. If not, think of Fallout, but without anything else and more combat. I'm not sure I would have loved it had I carried on, but as I said, I think I was just in the wrong place for it.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think we'd need 2 months though. That's the only thing. I think it's too much for 1 month.
Okay. But you're not supposed to whittle down the list yet, mate.
No, I know.
So, oh Christ on a bike, I got Riss. You ready for this?
Oh, go on then.
So, Riss or King Kong Groover writes, I'm going to pick something that did come out on the GBA, but only in Japan. And it's text-based, but it was re-released on English on later systems. So it may not be allowed, but will it Retro Clarence decide? Ah, you get to decide, Chris. And
because
I really want to play
it. Gruppenführer.
Yes, wow. We all know. So can I say what he actually suggests?
Yeah.
Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Ooh.
Oh. So Strong. Did the game actually come out in Japan in Japanese as the same version as that was later re-released on the DS instead, because that's the problem here. Did it actually come out on the GBA as the same game?
Yeah.
Pretty much? Then I'd say we allow it.
Yeah, so it came out in 2001
on the GBA.
Oh, sorry,
I'm not Chris. Then I say that Chris is going to tell us whether we allow it.
No, mate, I'm happy to go with your ruling. And the GBA version as well does have a fan translation.
Ooh, we could play that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I'm down for that.
So you could play that on your GBA if you want to, which is definitely how I will play it. Man, I'd love to play this. I have always wanted to play this series, and I've just never got... It's a bit like Yakuza, just never got round to it.
Yeah, it's good.
I'd love an excuse to play it.
It's good. I played this already on my DS back in the day. So.
Did you? Yeah. You'd be up for a replay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been so many years, I can't remember any of the cases or anything. So, yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, so it did have... So it had re-releases on the DS, Windows, on the Wii, but you can play the GBA version, as I said. You can get a fan translation. Mark, do you know this one?
Never played these games. No. By the time... I think... Well, I bought my wife an SP back in the day, GBA SP, but those kind of games never clicked with her. So... Yeah, I've never played any of these games. So you're basically trying to solve court cases? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a visual novel, isn't it? With a bit of storyline and and then a bit of courtroom melodrama.
Going out and interviewing people, maybe picking up some evidence and then going back to court and seeing if you can win your case. Yeah. It's good. My wife loved this game and what's the puzzle one that everybody... Professor Layton as well. Those two games.
Oh, yeah.
She loved playing those. So,
okay.
Yeah.
She had good taste.
Mm.
You made you snuck it through with the DS game. Nice job, Reese. Nice job.
Good one.
Yes.
So what have we got next? It's my turn, isn't it?
Yep.
So Monsterhide says, might I suggest the Amstrad CPC version of Rygar, please? You get bonus points for asking nicely. Of course you may. It's a great arcade game, but it's eclipsed in my eyes by the CPC version. Well, what version of any game isn't eclipsed by the CPC version? Of course.
So, of course, we all know that we can't trust the words of Monsterhide in any way, shape, or form. I mean, have you seen the praise that he pours?
Spoiler for Sonic episode? Yeah, somebody
yes.
loves
Have you seen the
Sonic
amount of praise
CD?
That he pours out on Sonic CD, whereas everybody else seems to be in agreeing that the... No, sorry. Just kidding, Rich. I teased him with that on another Discord just today because he's got really good taste in music. So how can his taste in games be this skewed? It baffles the mind, really. It does.
Well, there we go. Rygar, the Legendary Adventure.
We have done a CPC game only once, right? So it's definitely due. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And I loved it when we did Ikari Warriors as well. Yeah, me too. I think I would definitely love more CPC action in the game club. It's not an arcade game. I've said this before. It's not. I've only ever played Rygar once or twice and very casually.
It's really good.
So I'm probably not best placed to speak to it. Man, you like it, don't you?
Oh, I love Rygar in the arcade. I've never played the CPC version. I've never played any computer versions, I think. Only played the arcade version. Again, my local chibi had this machine for the longest time, so yeah, played it a lot. It's a beautiful 2D side-scrolling platformer. Yeah. You are this knight who wields a... what is it, spike thing on a chain that he throws out when he attacks stuff? Like a spike yo-yo. Yeah, must be. But it's a good game, really good game. And I'd love to see, those are big words, that the game is eclipsed by the CPC version, the arcade game. So yeah, love to see what the CPC is able to do there.
Interesting.
I mean, we all know it has the best version of some games, of course. So this might be good.
It would be interesting. I loved Rygar on the NES as a kid. You know, obviously, U.S. boy. You know, NES was king over here. So, Rygar, and it was a. You know, I always remember that was in people's collections. It was a fun one.
Yeah,
got cool. that. It was one of those kind of wave of mid-generation PS2 games, wasn't it? I know we're not talking about the PS2 port, but I remember there was the Shinobi game and there was Rygar, and it came out around the same time as Maximo. Games that were like had no right really to be as good as they were, yet were actually really good.
So there was a reimagining on the PS2, or
it was. Okay. Yeah.
Like what Maximo did for Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, okay, similar, and cool. And Shinobi.
Yeah,
Which again, everyone expected to be absolute pants, and was actually
really good.
Decent.
Yeah, almost weird.
Nice.
whatever generation that is, reimagines of 8-bit games. Weird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you doing this? Oh, actually, it's really good. But yeah, that'll be great. I mean, it'd be great to see the CPC back in action. And I would love an opportunity to get to grips with Rygar. So that's a good one, though.
Yeah. Okay, looks like my turn. We're going to go with Muppets 4. He says, I just saw some Perfect Dark footage for the N64. Call me intrigued. So I would like to nominate that.
Oh. So did you notice that he actually nominates two games? He's like further down the same page here. He mentions Little Big Adventure 2.
So, oh, yeah. Didn't notice.
I guess we need to. Of course, that's not allowed. So we'll just pick one for you.
I would eliminate Perfect Dark because N64 first person shooter. You got to be kidding me, Muppets.
Yes. I would agree, but
to be fair, now that I see it, I do recall, and I remember him once he posted that there was at least 4 or 5 comments like, "Oh, that would be such a good one, the Little Big Adventure." So I think we go with that pick on his, even though technically I think he posted that one first. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Okay. Well, I would have said Perfect Dark because I love Rare, but there you go. I will go with the majority. So, Mark, tell us about what do we know about Little Big Adventure 2 then?
I absolutely know zero about Little Big Adventure. I have no idea. I was thinking Little Big Planet on the PS3. I was like, wait a minute, that's the news, like some weird
so
game.
So, Little Big Adventure were some 3D, are they isometric? They're at least a top-down skewed perspective.
Yeah.
3D action-adventure games with a focus on the adventure part, but there is some quite annoying action there as well. Good storytelling for the time. Impressive 3D, because I only remember the PC version, of course, and that was in a very, very high, was it even Super VGA resolution? So it's really, really high resolution, very detailed 3D models that you're running around with. And it is, well, Little Big Adventure, Twinsons Adventure, I think it's called as well. It's in this, set in this futuristic world where the globe has been like cut into two, not physically, but it's divided by a mountain range, maybe of ice, I'm not sure, that's running around the equator line. And there are these overlords that are keeping the people in check by spawning. They've got teleports, and they can teleport these mechanical beings, I think they are. Quetches, I think. No, Quetches. Those are the humans called Quetches. I forget my story right now. But they are keeping the populace in an iron grip and ruling over them like that. And you're one of those people, of course, trying to escape and start a revolution, I think. But I never actually got through the first game because, as you all know, I love my adventure games, but I hate adventure games with action in them. So
yeah,
right. So this is a PC game. That's the platform?
It's on the PlayStation as well, PS1, I'm sure. The first one. I think the second one is as well, but I would play it on the PC probably, yeah.
The second one is meant to be better, isn't it? Because the difficulty is a bit smoother.
Mm.
But it's meant to be really, really good. I mean, I think Raushi was saying that he really likes it. And I think Laurent in our...
Yes.
I don't know whether he worked on it or he knows people who did.
I think he has a very good friend who worked on it. Yeah, on the PS1 version, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, it's getting a remake, isn't it? Or at least a remaster.
Yeah, they've been working on that for a long time, haven't they?
Wow.
Yeah. I think it is coming, though. I think it got a new trailer earlier this year, so I think it's very much still in development.
Yeah, intriguing. Now, I actually like to play the first one again at some point and get through it, but Little Big Adventure 2 would be a good choice as well.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to play that. Mm. Yeah, strong choice.
Yes.
Very good.
Who's next, me?
I guess. I forget. No, actually, it's me.
It is you.
Oh, yes.
You
got, so you the next one.
Number one on the high score of every month. Yeah.
Yes. So the next one is from Pix, and he says, I'll put forward Toonstruck for July, as I think we need a proper point and click after Blade Runner. It's one of the best, and not enough people played it. I wholeheartedly agree. I've heard nothing but good stuff about Toonstruck. Yeah. I picked it up not too long ago at a flea market, actually, so I have the original. Yeah. I really, really want to play that, and I do believe we need a good point and click. So if Pix says that this is a really good game, I would be well off playing a point and click in July.
Yeah, I haven't really got much to add to that. It's a game that I think Pix is right. It's a game that loads of people talk about as being, oh yeah, that's meant to be really good. But you don't ever come across many people who say, that is really good, I've played it. I think a lot of people have heard of it, but I've never played it.
And Toonstruck, it's not an FMV game, but it has some characters that are like, what do you call that? They're like FMV
frames. It's a bit like Space Jam, isn't it? The movie. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like digitized characters in the world, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's probably just what you call them. Yeah. So the main character is the guy who played in, I forget his name right now, the guy who played the Doctor in the Back to the Future movies.
Oh, old Doc Brown, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd, exactly. Lloyd,
yeah.
Yeah, I think he may be the protagonist here. I'm not sure, but at least he has a big role in this game. Yeah. No, I'd love to play that. Definitely.
Mm.
Tim Curry's in it as well.
Oh, wow. Oh really?
Yeah.
As a voice actor lavish. Or actually in there as a digitized character?
No, his voice. Yeah, apparently it cost more than $8 million to make, which was a lot of money back in the early 90s.
Who made Toonstruck?
It was published by Virgin, but it was developed by Bear Studios.
Okay, don't know them at all.
They went on to become part of EA.
Okay. No, I would be well up for looking at that because people have been telling me to play this for 20 years now, so I should at some point.
I mean, if it's better than Blade Runner, it's got to be good because Blade Runner was okay.
wouldn't be difficult.
Wouldn't be that hard.
I like Blade Runner, man. You guys are killing. I don't know. That's so weird. Yeah, as a guy that's not a point guy, Blade Runner was awesome. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Next up.
Yes.
Not mine or Willie bringing out the big guns here in more ways than one. Not mine or Willie. Can I nominate R-Type for the listener's choice? Because of course you can. I've never been able to clear round four. We do damn sight better than me. I've never been able to clear round four, so it'd be a good excuse to have a good go. Not really much to say about this. So this is the this is obviously the legend. The arcade version is what's being proposed here.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great game. I mean, we could have a. Are we allowed to have high score games on this second? Now that King Trilo has his high score corner,
yeah, of course.
I think so.
Okay,
I think it would probably work good for people to bounce back and forth when they get frustrated. Yeah,
and actually, King Trilo is doing something special next month for that high score challenge. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Just a teaser.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Intriguing. Well, arguably one of the greatest games of all time, one of the best users of all time. I'd happily spend a month flogging myself trying to finish R-Type. And it'd also be really cool to have a look at some of the Epic ports as well. I'm sure Dean Swain would join us on the episode if we promise to talk about the Specky port.
Yes, perhaps.
But yeah, there's so much good stuff.
But let's play the good version R-Type. Instead of the arcade version. That would be good.
Ooh. Well, you want to play the Game Boy version? That's also very good.
No, R-Type is definitely a good choice.
I have a love-hate relationship with R-Type because I love it, but I hate it because it is just so hard. To me, it's just one of those you die, you get powered
up,
and
you
can just slaughter through it. But once you get hit, you're done. I just start over.
I'd say it's not too bad, but you're right. It does suffer from that thing that many, many arcade shoot 'em ups do, but once you die once, you lose too many power-ups and you're actually just dead in the water. You lose the rest of your lives in a few seconds. Yeah, but I don't find the difficulty of R-Type too hard because you just have to learn how to use the options.
So learnable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, like for instance, I find that the likes of Gradius so much harder than R-Type. I think, if we devoted ourselves for 2 or 3 weeks... I reckon we'd get pretty far in R-Type. I think it is very learnable. I think it's a masterpiece, in my opinion. And I think it'd be fabulous to give it some coverage.
Yeah, agreed. So,
next up,
we've got Phoenix at 80. Who's up for that? That's you, Mark, right?
That's me. Yep, Blake, Phoenix at 80. He suggests Super Monkey Ball for the GameCube. And he also got a lot of love for that. A lot of people thought that would be a fun one. I, for one, have not tried Super Monkey Ball on the GameCube. It's one that I've never quite understood, and so I've just never really sat down with it. But it's a Sega-produced game, if I'm not mistaken, yeah?
It is. Definitely.
Have you guys played this one?
Developed by...
Never on the GameCube. I'm pretty sure the same game was released on the Wii at some point, and I think I played it there. But no, never played the GameCube version.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was. I think it was a later game in the series, Mads.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Obviously, there's been an absolute ton. I've never played Super Monkey Ball, but I know I would love this game. It just looks so... I mean, if a game looks like it should have been made by Nintendo, it's this one. Right, to the point where I think in the later Super Mario games in Odyssey and Galaxy, there are elements of that game which borrow quite liberally from elements of Super Monkey Ball. I think it'll be absolutely cool. And looking at a picture of the creator, Toshihiro Nagoshi, he looks a pretty badass guy. Toshihiro Nagoshi, didn't he create Yakuza as well? Could have that wrong.
Got no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, I think he did. I think it's a really strong choice. I think it'd be a bag of fun to play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are a monkey in a ball trying to roll through the stages, pick up bananas, and get to the goal at the end without falling off the edge of the world. That's pretty much it, right?
That's kind of got elements of Marble Madness to it.
Definitely.
Just a more high speed version. Loads of fun. Mm. Yeah.
It does. It does.
Yeah, I think
it should be fun. Mm. Yeah. There's a long list. Guys. Long list.
Yes, long list. My turn. John V suggests, he writes, my suggestion for July is Imogen on the BBC Micro. So he put this forward when we had our BBC Micro episode, but Exile ended up winning instead. It's a platform puzzler that most people should stand a chance of completing in a month. Never released for any other platform and is probably the game we should have played instead of Exile, he says.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's probably right.
Yeah, he's probably right. So we talked about this when we recorded the Exile episode. This looks really, really good, Imogen. And I'd be well up for playing that. Yeah. A platform puzzler, it's over multiple screens, or is it? I mean, it's single screen, flip screen, but the puzzles take place over multiple screens, I believe, right?
I think so. And the levels are random.
Oh, they're random.
So I think there are 16 levels, but you're not in any particular playthrough. You might only see, unless you go through all 16, you might not see the same level for a few different playthroughs. So it kind of makes it a bit more difficult to learn because you don't know what level you're going to be thrown at next.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, fair enough.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a
does look good.
Platform exclusive too. That's
exactly. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well worth having a look at. I did look at it very briefly when we were doing the BBC Micro. It was one of the games that was in the frame then. And I agree with John V. It probably is. It would have made for a better experience than Exile.
Just because of the birds. Only because of
just
the birds.
Just because of the bloody birds. Okay, so I'm up next.
Yes.
Gary48K says, I'm suggesting Mega Man X2. Cheers. Yeah, I love the Mega Man games, and I've still only ever completed the very first original Mega Man. The Mega Man X series was on the Super Nintendo, and they are absolute beauties. Pixel art, goodness, really nice looking games. Very highly regarded. I don't know much about this particular entry, the second Mega Man X game, but I think it's Mega Man. It's you go through the stages in any order, you use the powers, you get to the big bad, which is probably Dr. Willy, and you take him down.
Willy Wars.
The Willy Wars.
That's still one of those epic. Yeah, it just lasts forever in Retro Asylum.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So we take down Dr. Willy in Mega Man X2.
Yes, yes. Okay.
But we could.
Yes. Yeah. So definitely I'd be up for playing that. I never played any of the X series there. Only played the first three games, I think, on the NES. Love those. So I'd be well up for trying one of the Super Nintendo versions. Yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful games. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark.
We are on to the Captain Peter of our channel of the high scores, King Trilu. He says, in light of the recent announcement, Super Mario RPG. Are they redoing that? Is that what I'm understanding? I didn't watch that Nintendo Direct.
So that's, right. So there's going to be a remake of this game coming out later this year. So that's what he's talking about there.
Okay. That was a really cool looking game. I mean, it was kind of an isometric 3D version on the Super Nintendo, as I recall. I've never played this, again, as a non-RPG guy. It's just never interested me. So, have you guys played this? What's your thoughts?
I played it about 2.5 months ago.
Oh, wow.
So, I've played it very recently. Yeah, it's fun. And it kind of does some fun things with the Mario license, but I'm currently playing through Paper Mario. And Paper Mario, I think, is better than Super Mario RPG in pretty much every single way, even though Super Mario RPG is made by probably my favorite developers of all time, Square. Well, they were Squaresoft back then, Square Enix now. It's not quite Mario meets Final Fantasy, but it was as damn close as you were ever going to get back in the mid-90s.
Isn't it like a standard top-down RPG, but then when you go into the battle, you get these active battles where it's semi-3D and it's still the jump on the head of the Goombas gets you the extra points and all of that?
Yeah, that's right. So you have these kind of reaction windows that you've got to hit the button, and if you do that, you get like a bit of bonus damage, or you can negate some of the damage that's done for you.
So I played the one called, on the DS, Mario and Luigi Partners in Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like this, and really enjoyable game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's less fun than those. It's so simple. It's so simplistic that, and it's, you know, it's a good 25 hours, this game. And it just outstayed its welcome ever so much. Just because the gameplay is just so simple that it just does get, it's fun though. And it's got some really crazy moments and some really crazy characters. I'm just not sure how, mind you, I probably wouldn't even need to replay it. I played it so recently. It's fun. It's just been bettered by other RPGs set in the Mario world.
Fair enough. Okay. So we got the final thing on the list here is Heavy Metal Dawn. He says, my last minute suggestion is Parasol Stars, PC Engine version. Always wanted to probably jump in and try it, but have no idea what the hell is going on, so would love a group attempt at figuring out and mastering it. So I can most definitely teach you that, because I have played the hell out of that game. I love it. It's a beautiful, beautiful game.
Yeah. So I played the Amiga version quite a lot back in the day.
PC Engine version is so much better, but the Amiga version is enjoyable as well. The only reason the PC Engine version is better is that you don't have Alpha Jump, really. That's all. Because otherwise it's actually really good on the Amiga. But yeah, PC Engine version is definitely the way to go. And this is a beauty of a game with a few simple mechanics, actually. Also simple mechanics for getting a high score. But it's, I love my single screen kill 'em alls on the arcades. So, and this is like in the vein of Bubble Bobble, or maybe even more so something like Snow Bros, if you played that. It's a beauty of a game. I would love to try to do a high score challenge here and maybe even cheat using some save states and trying to see the end of this game, because I've never seen that.
That would be cool. Yeah. Because he basically throws the little parasols up, right? And he jumps on top of those. You can kind of like almost make steps. I vaguely remember playing this once.
No.
Am I wrong?
No, that's all wrong. He has a parasol and he can pick up drops of water on the parasol. And when you have a single drop or two, you can throw them. If you get like five or six drops, they collect to one big drop that you can like flush enemies away with. Wow. If you just throw single drops at the enemies, you'll stun them, and then you can go pick up the enemies and throw them instead. And that's how you dispatch of them.
Wow. Okay. Then I've not played this one.
It's a beauty. Yeah. It's a beauty. You need to play
it. It is a great game, I haven't played as much of it as Mads, but it was a game I did really love back in the day on the Amiga.
I mean, this game is one of the reasons that I really got into emulating at some point, because I wanted that... there was a PC Engine emulator called Magic Engine. I think it was even proprietary, so I ended up buying it just to play Parasol Stars at some point.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and PC Engine was primary platform, because it wasn't an arcade game, was it? A lot of people always say it's an arcade port, but it never
would have been brilliant in the arcade, and it's so strange that it wasn't an arcade game. Yeah,
so it's
the story of Bubble Bobble 3, of course. So the first one is Bubble Bobble, and you have Rainbow Islands, and then you have this one.
Yeah.
As I say, and so many people bought PC Engines back in the Devil's Crush days. So.
Exactly. might go round again.
I think this is one of the expensive ones, because I remember when I got my PC Engine, I was looking for this card because I wanted it, but it was that Hue card was very expensive back then. I believe so, at least. Yeah.
Right, so let's break a few hearts then.
Yes, but before we do that, can we please let poor Mass get some more beer, because he's parched here.
Go on, we'll have a quick break while Mads gets a beer.
Thank you.
So Mads is now lubricated, which is the best way for him to be. And we're going to start by we're going to break some hearts. Mark, take it away.
Oh, man. I get to be the... Okay. Well, I'm
going
to...
We've got this whole bad cup thing going here.
Do you have any idea which one I'm going to wipe out? Because I already do.
I'm glad you do.
He's going to go for an RPG or point and click, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I imagine he's going to go for an RPG.
So what are you going for? Come on.
Since Chris has already played Super Mario RPG, that's an easy one for me. Sorry, King Trilu. Sorry. Okay, but yeah, that one to me, I mean, I've had a short go of it, and I just haven't really ever had the desire. Not saying that, you know, it's a bad game, but yeah, so I figured that's an easy one for me for the first one.
Yep.
So, I'm not going to shed any tears over that.
Super Mario RPG. Oh, by the way, guys, are we leaving 3 or 4?
4.
I'd say 4, okay. Yeah.
Good. 4 suggestions. Good. Yeah. So, Chris, you want to wipe one off the list as well?
Oh, I thought we were going in reverse good looking order, but obviously not. Okay, I'll go next. Right. Okay. So, maybe a little bit. So, I'm going to surprise you here, Matt. Maybe a little bit selfishly, I'm going to take off Fallout Tactics. That's the one that I really don't fancy, to be honest.
Mm.
And I'm probably making a mistake here because maybe I'd like it, but I don't think it's suitable for a month, and B, I just didn't gel with it, man, at all. So I'm really sorry, Tohoscope. I look forward to seeing your suggestion for next year, but yeah, sorry, yeah. It's got to go.
Okay, my turn. This is tough because so many good games here.
Just take Knights of Zentar off and be done with it.
So I will take off all my clothes. No, I'll pick off Hired Guns here instead. Hired Guns because I am certain we played that like 5-6 years ago on an episode. And also, I think that maybe since we are leading into the RPG months, the summer RPG, this is too slow moving and slow playing for that. So I'll probably not be going for slow games this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
No tears shed.
I'm looking.
Mark.
I'm looking. Yeah.
Mark. Now, Mark.
I'm
Mark.
Trying. This is I don't know how I'm gonna get through this.
Brutal, mate.
This,
be brutal.
Yeah, this one's gonna. Man, I can't believe I'm gonna say no to this, and it's only because I know I've tried to get better at this game, and I don't think I'm gonna be nice about it. So I'm gonna kill R-Type. Sorry, not Minor Willy.
Oh,
yeah, that's bad.
You did what?
Yeah, R-Type.
Oh man, that was bad.
Hey,
okay. you've left on Knights of Zentar.
You know why?
Over our type.
I'm gonna. Of course. We'll keep waiting. But I, Roushi's a good friend.
That's Ace.
Roushi's a friend. Mm. I can't wipe him out yet. I'm a guy that likes shooters, but I've always said I've been a little more on the casual side. I've never been that hardcore at them. So. Yeah, R-Type.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wow.
Okay. All right. Well, my turn. I am going to take off Sin and Punishment.
Okay.
Wow.
Just because I think I would, yeah, it's a treasure game. I'd love to get stuck into it at some point, but yeah, we've obviously just had Panzer Dragoon. I think it's too similar.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. And yeah. I'd like to get into that one sometime.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already getting really tough now. Oh my god. Mm. So many good games here. Wow. So I'm going to pick off a game I'd really like to play and I need to play at some point, but Roushi played it recently and said that it took a long time because of some of the like growing problems of the engine. So Lure of the Temptress, the Amiga version, I'm picking that off, sorry, because I'd really like to play it at some point, but it's so many good games here, so it's hard to choose.
Getting down to the nitty-gritty now.
Mm. Mark.
Okay.
There's some good games on this list. This is really difficult.
Yeah, this is really brutal. gosh. Going through them all. I don't know which one I want to kill. Oh my god. Okay. I'm gonna wipe out Little Big Adventure 2. I think. Sorry, Muppets. Okay. Yeah, okay. With an RPG month coming up, I mean, I'm getting forced, and this, even though I guess it's...
But that's not an RPG,
that's
mate.
That's not an RPG.
I know, but, well, slow and plotting. I need something a little more... Well, we'll see, I guess, it comes along, but...
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mark's knocking out all of the non-RPGs and leaving all the RPGs on, good lad.
Yeah.
Right, my turn. I'm going to take off Wonder Boy in Monster World.
Really?
Okay. I'm sure I would like the Wonder Boy games if I got into them, but don't feel comfortable going in right smack bang in the middle of the series.
Oh, come on, Chris.
No, I don't. And also, I just think, I'm sure I would like them, but I've never been taken to try one.
Mm.
So Wonder Boy in Monster World has gone.
Okay. My turn.
How many? Should we just go through the ones that are left, by the way?
Yes, yes. So we've got
a good idea.
So we've got Parodius, Burnout 3, Outrun 2, Wizard, Knights of Zentar, Heretic, Moonstone, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, Rygar. Oh, I've just gone too fast. Where are we? Rygar.
Toonstruck.
Super Monkey Ball. Imogen, Mega Man X2, and Parasol Stars.
Holy smoke. I mean, seriously. Look, that
still
list,
got some work to do here,
that,
guys.
That list is... Okay. Who's up?
So it's Mantis. It's me. And I will eliminate Burnout 3 Takedown. I'm not one for racers at all. And if there is a racer here, it needs to be Outrun 2. So,
yeah. I agree with that. I think that's a good choice.
That's fair. That one hurts.
Yeah. Mark?
Okay. I think I'm going to wipe out Mega Man X2. Only because I...
Ouch.
I feel like... X is more of a classic. I think people need to play X first. There you go, Chris.
Okay. Mate, you're knocking out all the Mark games.
You know what? I am. It's killing me because I've never played X2 more than a glance, and so I mean it's not like I've played it, but I feel like I know what I'm in for it. But a game like Imogen, I have no idea what I'm in for. So that's, I don't know, I'm trying to educate myself more with some of this stuff. So that's kind of the approach I'm taking, and it's killing me slowly.
Okay. My turn then. I'm going to take out Parodius. It would be fun. It's a fun game, but I've already spent 2.5 hours talking about Parodius this year. So purely selfishly, plug for the Kane and Rince episode of Parodius. If you do want to hear some stuff on that, kaneandrince.com. But yeah, I am. I don't fancy it. Another 2 hours on it.
Fair enough, mate. So... My turn. Mm. I'm just looking through the list here once more. I think... So I was just about to eliminate Super Monkey Ball, but I haven't played on my GameCube for like 2 years. I'd like to play something on that, so maybe that would be...
So it's Metroid Prime, right?
Yeah, we played that like 2 years ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
2.5 years ago. No, but look in this list. That is what needs to go, I think. So I'm eliminating Super Monkey Ball for the GameCube. Sorry, Blake.
Hate mail going to Mads on that one, I think. There was a lot of love.
I really wanted that one to make the shortlist.
Mm.
Okay. Is it Mark? Yeah, sure.
That's me. Can I go back to work? Holy cow, I'd rather do that. Am I going to get slaughtered for wiping out Moonstone? I don't know. I think I'm going to take out Moonstone.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. I mean, it is a hard job now because we've only got bangers in here, haven't we?
Yeah, this, I mean, other than Roushi's hentai game, I don't know, but...
Come on, you guys.
Hey, it hasn't left. I took out R-Type before
Never
that.
Minded.
I gotta have some
props.
Yeah, you did.
That's good.
Mm. Okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 left.
Gotta wipe out.
Oh my.
Five of these.
All right. I am going to take out Rygar.
But on the best 8-bit platform?
I know. I've taken out the best 8-bit platform. Yeah. I know. Yeah. The only reason why is that I've not played Rygar, but I get the impression that lots of people have. And I think there are some interesting games on this list that I would quite like to spend some time with. I'm not sure Rygar is one of them. I mean, sure, it's a good game, but I think in terms of interesting games, others are stronger.
Okay. Now it's really tough. So I think this is really tough. I think I'm going to go with Heretic because I find that we've played a lot of DOS games in the past couple of years. Maybe we should try to go to the consoles a bit more.
Okay.
And I remember playing Heretic back in the day and not really gelling with it, so that should just be a reason to try it again. But but with this bunch of good games available here on this list, I'm gonna have to eliminate Heretic.
Okay, you bastard.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
That's one of my faves.
I agree. I wanted to really try that one. Okay. What if I...
Right, so there's 7 left, guys, this works out well. So we've got 1 elimination each left.
What if we do something crazy and I change it up and we all pick a game we're going to keep? Because I think every one of us has at least one we want to keep on the list, no? and then that leaves 4 open and only one of the 4 gets left out.
I like it. Yeah, good idea, mate.
All right.
Good idea.
Okay. So I'm going to pick the first because since it's my pick, I'll just go for it. I'm going to keep Outrun, too. I want Outrun.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yes.
So
that was the next one I was going to eliminate. Lucky save there, mate. Lucky save.
I'm a racer.
That 100%.
I'm a racer. I'm going to keep
it.
Yep.
Mm. Good man.
Chris,
what are you going to save, Chris?
Just trying to figure out how to highlight this on our list, but I've now managed it. All right.
This is tough, mate. This is tough.
Yeah, throwing the curveball. Yeah.
Can I save like 3?
No.
Can you save 3?
I'm going to go with Phoenix Wright, mate. I've always wanted to play this.
Wow.
And yeah, I think it would be really good fun.
It would have been one I eliminated.
It
would have been one I'd have wiped out. That's probably was my next pick, so I'm glad you saved it.
Phoenix Wright.
I can't choose. I mean, I can't. I've got 3 that I need to keep. I want Parasol Stars, I want Toonstruck, and I want Wizard. Those three I want.
Does look good.
And I can't choose.
You have to
gotta choose. Out of your, it's like your 3.
You have to.
Your 3 kids, man. You got to choose your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget Sophie's choice. This is Matt's choice.
It's so much easier with the kids. I mean, this is hard. come on. Wow. So I love Parasol Stars. But I played it a lot, so maybe that should.
Can I just say you will probably never ever get another chance to get Knights of Zentar onto a shortlist.
We're not going to eliminate that, I'm sure. I played that before, so it just doesn't. It's not as important as the other ones. I love the look of Wizard, so I'm going to have to go with that. I need that on the list. Wow. And I'm going to be kicking myself if Toonstruck is removed from the list. But oh well.
So how are we going to do this? So we've got 1 more. How are we going to do this next
one? So 3 of us.
Well, we each get to pick one off, though.
Yeah, we each get to pick one off.
Yep. All right. Yeah, I like it. Okay, go on then, Mark.
Mark gets to go first. Oh, should we just read out what we've got left?
Let's see.
We've got going forward, we have Outrun 2 and Wizard and Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. But the ones we're talking about eliminating now are Knights of Centaur, Toonstruck, Imogen, and Parasol Stars. So only one of those will stay in the mix.
So,
go ahead, Mark.
I've got the easy job because I can pick one. You know, I don't have to down to the last two. But for me, I see. You think I'm going to take it out? I'm not. I'm going to wipe out Parasol Stars. I am.
No.
Yeah, and let me
bastard.
Let me tell you why. What? Let me tell you
complete
why.
Complete and utter bastard.
God, I'm sorry, Don. Dang, he's going to be pissed at me. Because I... God, if I had 3 months of RPGs, I might die. But I kind of want to see if it makes it. If it makes it in, would it actually win? Knights of Zentar. I don't know. So, and on top of that,
interesting.
John V's Imogen on the BBC Micro, because I have zero experience with that, would be interesting as well as, I mean, I trust picks with picking a good game for the PC. So like Toonstruck sounds right up my alley. So yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so, and Roushi, I'm just kind of extending the bone, extending my olive branch there.
please don't use that term right there.
Yeah,
don't extend the boner.
Sorry.
I won't extend my bone towards Roushi, and I will.
You're gonna
say,
wipe him out.
It's gone.
Oh man.
No, Chris.
Yeah, no. We can't, in good conscience, leave Knights of Zentar in and take one of the others out. Mads had his choice. He spurned his. He had the chance. He spurned it.
Oh God!
I tried, Roushi. Roushi, I tried. Just so you know.
No, I feel bad. Oh man.
Yeah, you got okay. No. You got the hard one, Mads. You got to pick between John V's and Pix's, man. Oof.
Oh, that's easy. I mean, John V is always been my arch nemesis on any high school challenge. So of course, Imogen gets the boot, and Toonstruck is put forward.
Oh,
sorry, not sorry, John.
John's.
What a list.
Crying. Okay. Well, looks like I'm excited. This is actually going to be fun. Outrun 2, which was my save. That was from Dr. No Vocal Cords. Moppin Wizard for the C64, which Mad saved. And
yep.
Chris saved Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney for the Game Boy Advance, which would be cool to do. English patched version, and then Mad saved Pix's Toonstruck that he picked. So man, what a list to kick out. That's a good
I
list.
I didn't save Toonstruck. That was just
you saved
the last one left. Last man standing. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you were last pick. You saved it. So you saved. You got two. We'll give you that.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice list. I love that we have a C64 game, an Xbox game. I guess that's where we'll be playing Outrun 2, and a PC point and click. I'm guessing it's DOS, Toonstruck, could be early Windows, and a handheld GBA game. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah,
we've
list.
Got a nice spread, haven't we, of stuff.
And what a list!
It's a great
what a list of that everybody put forth. That's really fun, and hopefully y'all didn't get your hearts broken too bad.
So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be playing Knights of Centaur, and then I'm going to be discussing that on the next episode. let's see.
There we go. Mads can play it on his own in his dark bedroom. Maybe it ought to be played. Enough. Well, there we go. Listeners, stand by. Watch out for the vote. Hopefully it'll be a good one. I think we're going to have some good chat on this on Discord, and there'll be people who disagree with us, people who agree, but that's all part of the fun. We'll get these four going forward, and we'll be playing those very soon because it's the 26th of June right now. This should hit your ears on the 27th, hopefully, if Dean Swain can get a cover sorted. And gentlemen, until then, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you, mate.
Chat to you. Yeah, to you guys in July.
No shout-outs?
Shout-outs.
Nothing. Oh, sorry. Shout-outs.
You usually always go for the shout-outs. Come on, Chris. Do you have any shout-outs you'd like to get off your chest here?
Shout-outs, mate. I'd like to shout-out the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And by extension, of course, Jim, who's going to be on the Jim Middleton, who's going to be on the Sonic episode. I'm looking forward to listening to you two absolutely hammer Sonic CD. And big shout out to the rest of the guys, Matt, Dean, Steve, and also the rest of, well, the remaining member of the playthrough crew, and the big shout out to all the patrons, all the Discord members. Look forward to next month.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, same.
So I'd like to shout out the guys from New Game All Flame. I was there recently on an episode. It's going to be published soon, I think. Yeah, wonderful lads. So I'm hoping to get back on that show at some point again. That's it was great fun to record with them. I know you've been recorded with them a few times, Mark.
Yep, I got invited to another one for August. I think they're already booked and booking themselves out. So I'm excited about that one. Should be fun. As always, and yeah, that's it for me. I got no shout outs. You already knocked them out, so it's been good.
Cool. So let's wrap it up then. Have good fun, stuff. Guys.
All right, guys. Okay. Take care. Right. See you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye bye.
From now on, man,
it's hot in here.
Unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures,